Welcome back to the South Harbor Church Podcast. South Harbor exists to help people find their way back to God. This week, we wrap up our series, Things That Make Me Go Hmm, with some thoughts on parenting. As always, for more information about how you can become a part of the South Harbor Church community, stick around after the message. And now, let's head over to Pastor Jeremy.
So good morning, South Harbor. My name's Jeremy. I'm thrilled to be with you all this morning. And I was telling Tim, like, I don't get what all the commotion is about from last night. Like, I just hope we can beat Western again when we play them in the Natty in a couple months. Right? It was bad. But at least you know that, like, it doesn't matter how bad you bomb. You can just add a second and make you forget the whole thing. But we're grateful that you're here with us this morning. This is our last week in our series telling you about things that make us go, And so this morning, I would like to invite you to turn with me if you'd like to follow along. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit in the scriptures this morning, but like kind of home base where we're going to kind of like hunker down in a few times, is going to be in Psalm 23, words that might be familiar to you. We're going to use Psalm 23 kind of to come up with an image, and that image is going to kind of bring us to a few different kind of ideas. I'm going to call them thoughts, and then a little bit later, I'm going to give you a picture that I've found helpful, especially around kind of, it's a topic we're going to talk about this morning that I've been thinking about to some degree for the last 18 years, but maybe a little more frequently over the last handful of weeks, because my house this year is a house that has this sign in the front yard. My oldest is a senior this year, and I can tell you I am not ready for it. Like, I can remember back, like, it seemed like it was yesterday, right? When, like, you're sending her off to the first day of school, and it's pigtails, and it's, like, the lunchbox that's filled with, like, the three things you think she might actually eat at school, and you send her off, and now I found myself a few weeks ago putting a sign in the ground because she is now a senior. And I found myself, like, my wife and I have been talking about how, like, each season is kind of new, but we're now in the spot where, like, our season is significantly shifting. And I'm aware of it, like, every step of the way, right? Like, every year we've gotten the kids up early on the first day and you take the first day of school photos. This is the first year for me and my family where we're starting to take, like, last photos, right? Like, it's the last first day of school. And now, like, she's picking out, like, what she's going to wear on her last homecoming. And then we'll have, like, the last Christmas break while she's in school. And all of a sudden, I realize that, like, my season as being a parent is significantly going to be shifting in the next handful of weeks and months, and we're stepping into a whole new season of parenthood. And so it's caused me to just step back and kind of reflect, to look back on the last handful of years, to look back on the last handful of weeks, to reflect on what it means to parent. And so what I want to call this morning is just a few thoughts on parenting. And now I know that, like, you name something like that and there's a handful of eye rolls in the room. So I just want to name those right off the bat. I get it. Some of you have been parents longer than I've been alive. I get that. I totally understand that. And for many of you, like, I am so indebted and grateful to you and people like you because I've been able to buy you coffees and lunch and ask what are the things that you leaned into that you found helpful as you kind of parented your kids along the way? Or it might not have been lunch or coffee. I just got to observe and just kind of sit back and watch the way you interact with your kids. And it's been so incredibly helpful. And so I understand I am not the most experienced person to be standing on the stage talking about parenting. I get it. I also get some of you are way smarter and wiser in this room than I might be, and my family's up at the family cottage, but my kids will be, like, fact-checking me in real time online, I promise you that. And so, but I do have some reflections, some observations that I do think, for me, have been helpful that I want to share. And I get, so kind of eye roll number one, who's this guy to talk about this? Eye roll number two, Some of you are kids, right? Not everybody here, you're going to talk about parenting. Not everybody here has kids. And so I totally understand that. My hope is one of the things, as we kind of talk about it, you realize that so much of parenting is actually doing kind of the inner personal work in your own life. And my hope, my guess is that even if you might not have kids, you might know somebody that does. You might have kids that have kids. You might have siblings that have kids, or you have neighbors or friends that you might be a teacher. You might have somebody looking up to you. And so my invitation is to kind of stay with us. I do think a lot of parenting, again, is kind of doing that internal work in your own life as you're then trying to bring other people along. And so what we're going to do is we're going to jump in Psalm 23. We're going to look at an image. I'm going to give some thoughts. And then there's a picture that I found really helpful that I want to share with you. And so Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So Psalm 23 compares God to a kind of a role, a sort of a profession, you could say, in the ancient world. Psalm 23, written by a guy by the name of David, he would become king, and he compares God to the role of shepherd. What we find through the scriptures is that they will often do this. David will often do this. Jesus will do this, where in trying to explain an idea or a concept, one of the things that they might do is look at an identity, a picture, a role, and say, well, it's kind of like, right? Jesus often, when he's talking about the kingdom of God, will say, well, it's kind of like a shepherd, or it's kind of like somebody who went out and cast his net into the, or it's kind of like. And so what I want to do this morning is kind of in that vein, I want to use this idea, this image of shepherd, and some of what the scriptures talk about in relation to a shepherd to ask, what does it mean for us to parent well? And so if we think of shepherd, this is actually a shepherd on the Mount of Olives right across from right across from Jerusalem. But I want to ask the question, what is this idea, this image of shepherd? How might that help us as we think about what it means to parent or to lead this next generation? And so what we're going to do is we're going to jump around the scriptures a little bit, kind of looking at some kind of verses, but we're going to kind of, again, hunker down in kind of that Psalm 23. Sound okay? All right, so I want to start by talking about something that I think isn't always the place that conversations start in talking about parenting. That I've read a lot of books, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, I've done a bunch of research, and it feels like often when you kind of approach the concept of parenting, it always starts with like, okay, how do you do it? What do you do? And if I'm honest, some of it, when I step back from it, it kind of feels like we're treating kids as almost like employees to be managed or projects to be fixed, right? They are this, you want them that. And there's, of course, parenting is trying to help develop something in our kids. But I want to start not with what we do or how we do, but more of kind of an attitude or a perception towards. And so Jesus is going to tell a story that tells us kind of the heart of a shepherd with his sheep. I'll show it to you in Matthew 18. It says this. Jesus says, if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? What you find in the scriptures is that the role of a shepherd views his sheep not just as like things that he owns, but the shepherd views the sheep almost, I don't think it's too strong a thing to say that it's almost like the sheep are treated as almost kind of family they live with. David, remember the one who wrote Psalm 23, David at one point in his life's going to go off the rails. And he's going to have a prophet, a guy by the name of Nathan, is going to kind of confront David, and he's going to do it by telling a story. And the story Nathan tells is of a shepherd who has this sheep, and this sheep grew up with his kids, and it eats at his table, and it's almost like one of the family. And it was just widely understood because that's often the way it worked. And so what I want to give, my first thought, isn't about how to do something or what to do. My first thought on what it means to be a parent is simply your perspective towards your kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews. And thought number one is simply enjoy them. Simply enjoy them. Anybody else, like your Facebook will give you memories of like pictures you posted from years ago? Anybody else do this? Yeah, like Facebook memories become this way of scrolling and being reminded of both like how cute your kids were when they were little and how much hair you used to have, right? And I find that as I'm scrolling through, I'll see my pictures, especially this time of the year, first days of school. I see all the pictures of my kids when they were like, they're 6 and they're 8 and they're 12. And constantly what I do is I'm reminded of both kind of how cute they were. And there are times I'll see the pictures and I'll actually be reminded of like that whole season of life. And I'll be reminded of not just the photo, but there are times if I actually kind of spend some time looking at it, I'll remember like the anxieties that I was carrying, right? The decisions that I was having to make, the uncertain future that stood before me. And then it's always the weird perspective of like 10 years later, looking back and realizing, oh, so many of the things that I was carrying, so many of the anxieties, so many of like the things that I had going on, if I could reach through that picture and say something to 10 years ago me, so often it would simply be, hey, just take a pause. It's going to be okay. Just enjoy the moment you're in, right? Just enjoy the moment. You only get the season once. I get it, especially like when kids are young, right? You're trying to sleep. You're trying to keep them from killing each other, right? Like that's a real thing. And there are times when it feels like you're just trying to get through it. And part of me wishes I could reach back across that photo and just say, just enjoy the moment. And then what I found is it started being kind of a reminder for me in the moment that I'm at that I can't go back 10 years or you can't hit rewind, but you can make some decisions about the moment you're in right now, that whatever season it looks like to just stop, to pause, there are decisions that you need to make, yes. There are things you're carrying, yes. And the first invitation is simply enjoy the season, enjoy the kids. And I think it's important that your kids know that you enjoy them, right? Hopefully your kids know that you love them. Hopefully that's true. If that's not true, tell them. Like stop right now and like tell them. But I also, one of the practices that my wife and I have started is we've started telling our kids not just that we love them, but that we enjoy them, that we like them, that to us, the world is simply a better place because they exist in it with us. And so I think one of my questions on thought number one, if thought number one is enjoy them, I think my question that goes along with thought number one is, do your kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews or friends, do they know, are they as confident that you like them as they are that you love them? Right, the world is a really hard space, especially for a kid. You're trying to figure out who you are, where you belong, how you fit. There's all the anxieties that come along with it. Are you living in such a way that your kids know that they're loved and they know that they are liked, that you simply enjoy them? And so my wife and I, we've been trying to make a habit. And I mean, it's weird, right? To like, hey, I enjoy you. But like, we're trying to make it a habit of naming to our kids as often as we can that we simply like them. And we're trying to show them in the way that we live, that we love them and that we like them. Thought number one, enjoy your kids. Thought number two comes out of Psalm 23, out of especially that last verse. We're going to kind of spend some time with that last verse. Verse number three says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The word guides, I think I prefer the kind of traditional translation of this, which is that he leads me along, because the Hebrew word that's used here is kind of to lead or to guide. But essentially, a thought number two coming out of the verse is that you are always teaching. that they are always watching, that they are always learning something from you. And I think I like the word lead, that Hebrew word lead, better, because I think there's something unique about the way a shepherd leads his flock. If we were to kind of compare and contrast, let's compare it and contrast. On the left, we have a cattle rancher. On the right, we have a shepherd. Notice from the picture, or if you've watched like Yellowstone or something, how does a cattle rancher keep like move their cattle? What position are they in? Usually in the back, right? And you're kind of trying to drive them forward from behind. You're trying to jump them, spook them, keep them going in the same direction. Does a shepherd lead their sheep from behind? It's on the photo, you can tell. No, shepherd leads from the front. I think it's different. Because what a shepherd does is a shepherd isn't going to stand on the side and try to point the direction the sheep are supposed to go. What a shepherd does is a shepherd is going to walk that path first and then is going to invite the sheep to follow the shepherd in the direction the shepherd has already walked. What does that mean? Well, I think thought number two, it's that you are always teaching, that your kids are always watching you. And so like you're teaching when you're meaning to be teaching, right? Like in those moments when you're able to sit down and have that heart to heart and maybe they ask a question, maybe you have an opportunity to speak into something. It's, if you grew up on Full House, it's like how every episode ends, right? Like the music starts and they have this heart to heart moment at the end. There are times you're meaning to be teaching. Yes, you're teaching there. But you're also teaching them in all the moments in between in simply how you live your life, right? The way you are teaching your kids something about what it means to treat a spouse in the way you treat yours, right? You are teaching your kids something about what it means to be generous in the way you handle your finances. You're teaching them when you sit down and use words. You're also teaching them with the way you model your life. And so maybe the question with thought number two, if thought number two is you're always teaching, maybe the question is, are you living the type of life right now that you would be happy to or proud of if you see your kids living it a handful of years down the line? Are you living the type of life that you would be proud to pass on to your kids? What are the things? What are the things in your life that you would be proud to pass on to your kids? Maybe it's an opportunity to lean into some of those. Are there things in your life that, if you're honest, you would like to see, you would not want to see you pass on? Would you be proud to see your kid treat your spouse the way you treat yours? If yes, awesome. Keep going. And if part of you is like, I don't, maybe it's an opportunity for us to step back and do some work, because your kids are always watching. You're always teaching them. What does it look like to actually forgive somebody who hurts you? Right? Not just what you think about it, but how you actually do it. What does it look like in how you treat the person that you disagree with? And then what does it look like for how you treat the person you disagree with, even if it's online, right? How are you modeling for your kids? Are you living the type of life that you would be proud to pass on after you? Or do you need to do the hard inner work of making some things change? And then the question, if our kids are learning from us, the way we're modeling, what does faith look like, right? In what ways is faith, if you're here and you call yourself a follower of Jesus, in what ways does faith find its way into your life? Is it something you do on Sundays? Is it maybe something that you just kind of tack on to what you already think or believe? Or is it something that you model your entire life around? Because my hope is that as my kids are following me, right, as I am parenting my kids, my hope is one of the things they are learning from me is to to recognize the one that I'm following, right? If we're using shepherding example, I'm also following a shepherd. I'm following the way of Jesus. And so my hope is that one of the things my kids are seeing from me and learning from me is what it looks like to actually live your life in a way that follows Jesus. Jesus will say it this way. In John 10, he says this. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees," he's talking to the religious leaders, "anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the sheep gate is the shepherd of the sheep." Then he says this, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." There's something fascinating about sheep. About 10, 12 years ago, somebody from the first church I had the privilege of pastoring, it was up on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, somebody that was a part of that church moved to Israel and lived there for a handful of years. It was awesome because I got to follow along on Facebook and see all these stories and pictures. It was awesome. One morning, she posted something on Facebook. I told her in the comments that I was going to share the story a million times. It's not been a million yet, but I'm working on it, right? So I get to check one more off. She told the story that one morning in Jerusalem, she's living in Jerusalem at the time, she went out to breakfast, met a friend for breakfast, and on her way back from breakfast, she runs into this little guy. Aw, right? For some reason, like, you see a baby anything, and it's aw. So she runs into this little baby sheep, and it becomes clear to her the sheep is lost. It's kind of stuck. It's not moving. It is lost. And it's on a road in Jerusalem. That's a problem. Like, on a road in Byron Center would be a problem. Roads in Jerusalem are really narrow and cars come ripping. And so she's noticing that, like, this thing is in a bad spot. And so she doesn't know the sheep. The sheep doesn't know her. She's trying, I need to get the sheep off the road. And so she tries to, like, call out to the sheep to, like, try to convince it to leave the road. This is what she would face.
"Come here, little guy.
He's just barking at her. He doesn't know her. She's not its shepherd. And so she's trying to figure out, how do I get it off the road? And so what she decides she's got to do is she kind of leaves the sheep. It's not going to follow her anyway. And she starts kind of paying attention to the area. And what she finds is there's a hillside that she notices there's a bunch of sheep on. And as she kind of turns the corner, she sees an older gentleman looking up at the hillside, like frantically counting. And so she comes up to the man and she's like, "Hey, are those your sheep? There's a baby up the road." And the guy loses his mind. He's like, that's the youngest. I've been looking for him." And so he comes running after her, sees the sheep, calls out to the sheep. All the sheep would do is bark at my friend. What does the sheep do when its shepherd shows up? Runs into his arms. And then it's a little bit of a choppy video, but you can kind of see the sheep on the hill. And then when he turns, he's got the little baby sheep in his arms returning to the flock. The crazy thing about sheep is they know who they follow. A sheep will know the voice of their shepherd. My friend is trying to help it and it will do nothing. The shepherd shows up and it runs into its arms. My hope, your kids are always learning. You are always teaching. My hope for you, my hope for me, is that we can live our lives in such a way that we become familiar with the voice of the one we're following, so that the goal isn't that my kids just follow me forever, right? The goal isn't that I get to always make all of the decisions for my kids. My hope is I've lived my life in such a way that I've been so in tune with the voice of the shepherd, with the voice of Jesus, that my hope is through the words that I speak and the way that I live and the type of life that I model, my hope is my kids will then get to know the voice. Does this make sense? Number one, enjoy the season, enjoy them, let them know you enjoy them. Number two, everything you're doing is teaching. Paul says it this way to a church in Corinth. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I'm following my shepherd. The hope is that they might as well. Point number two is they are always learning. You are always teaching. Point number three, I'm going to have to explain a little bit. Point number three, I'm going to call simply know them. So what does that mean? So with this, I want to kind of put two verses side by side, kind of talk about both verses, and then give you a picture that my hope is it kind of holds the two verses together. It's an image that I've found to be really helpful. And so the first verse is a pretty popular verse on parenting. It comes out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 says, start children off, or train a child on the right way, on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Now, a quick little word on Proverbs. Be careful not to read Proverbs backwards. Proverbs, think of them, they're kind of short, pithy statements. They're observations about the world that the author says, this seems like it's most often how it goes. But don't read Proverbs backwards thinking this is always the way it goes. And to read it backwards means it's possible at some point your kids, some of you have already been there, your kids are older and they are making their own decisions. It's possible that a kid who becomes an adult will make a decision to go down a path that you did not want for them, that you pray against. That doesn't mean if you read it backwards, you messed up. Does that make sense? Be careful to read the Proverbs backwards. And yet, I think there's something this proverb has to offer to us. So it's start children off, or in the Hebrew, train a child on the way, or in Hebrew, the path they should go. So it says, if you train a child on the path, and what path does it say? If you train a child on the path you went, on the path their older sibling went, if you train up a child on the path who? They should go. Okay, hold on to that. And then let's go back to our Psalm 23. It says, he, kind of the shepherd, he's talking about God, guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So the shepherd leads along the right paths. Proverbs says, if you train a child in the path they should go, they will not depart from it. My question, what image does David have in his mind when he's talking about walking a path? Well, remember, David's talking about shepherds, and in Israel, the kind of landscape is going to kind of lead itself to kind of two major professions. There's some other ones, but there's some areas in Israel where you have topsoil, you can grow things, you can plant a garden. Those areas where you can grow, you have a bunch of farmers. You have another area that is more desert. It's rocks, it's some growth. You really can't farm it. That is largely the region of the shepherd. And so David, we know, is talking about a shepherd. And so if we look at the region where you would shepherd in Israel, it's going to look a lot like this. It's the Judean wilderness, Judean desert. What you notice, I want you to kind of put your detective hat on. I'm going to show you a handful of pictures of like hills within the Judean desert and see if you can find something that kind of holds true between the photos. Something you notice about the landscape. If you go to the next one, it's a little harder on the next one. So we've got this one. Especially look at this kind of hill right here. Now go to the next one. To the next one. Go to the next. Anybody notice anything? Do you see all like the horizontal lines cutting through the hills? You notice that? In that next photo, so what you have in this region of Israel is when you're looking out at the hills, there are all these horizontal lines pretty evenly spaced out through the hills. One of the things that we call those, or that they call those, is simply sheep paths. Why? Well, if we go to that next photo, It's believed that one of the reasons these things get caused is over the millennia, you had shepherds leading sheep and goats across these hills, and over year after year after year, you go to Israel today, there are shepherds doing this on the same hills, that over time, what happens is you have these paths that then a shepherd is going to be leading his sheep, and what you find in this photo, you've got all the sheep like really nicely on two rows. Generally, the sheep will kind of be up the hillside. You can see you got a couple goats up top. They're always doing their own thing. But you have like the hill full of like sheep and goats. And then the shepherd goes out front and the sheep and the goats will follow the shepherd. Okay, does this picture make sense? Proverbs says, train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. Thought number three, know your kids, because the reality is, shocking claim, your kids aren't all the same, right? Your kids were individually, uniquely created to be who they are. And I think one of the problems we can fall into is we can sometimes assume that because it worked for one, it should work for the other. Or maybe because it worked for you, it should work for them. And then we find ourselves in all this drama. If it does, it worked for them, why doesn't it work for the younger? My middle kid started driver's training. Anybody ever like go through driver's training? Like be a parent and go, yeah, you've got some kids who have, if you drive, you went through driver's training. But if you've been a parent leading your kid through driver's training, like it's this wild experience of like trying to teach and be supportive and not die all at the same time, right? And so we are in it for our second time. And what I've realized pretty quickly is what worked for my first kid, for me being in the front seat, like helping teach how to drive, what worked for my first kid isn't always what works for my second. Shocking, right? And so what I've realized is that there was a moment, it was like a week ago, when I thought it was being helpful. I thought it was teaching. I thought it was helping. It was not received as help. And so what it created is an opportunity for me to stop and step back and ask, like, okay, how did you need me to show up in that moment? Because what I thought I was doing did not come through. Like, how did you need me to show up? And then I was able to invite him into a conversation about what he needed from me in that moment. And then I got the incredible gift of being able to then own some things and apologize for some things and then commit to a different path forward. See, I think sometimes when we talk about this, when we talk about what it looks like to model a life that's worth passing on, when we talk about like parenting uniquely your kid as God created them to be, I think sometimes the reality is it can cause some guilt for some of us, right? You look back and you realize that there are things that you messed up, whether you intended to or not. The fuse ran a little bit too short that day. You said something you wish you didn't say. Something happened. And I think sometimes that can cause a fair amount of guilt. But I actually wonder if in those moments, it also doesn't give an incredible gift, where I think what our kids don't need is just like always perfect static parents. Right? I think sometimes we get the incredible gift of being able to go to our kids and simply say, hey, I did not treat that right. I did not do that right. I shouldn't have done what I did. I think it's really helpful for our kids to hear us say, I'm sorry for the things that we were sorry for, to apologize for some things, that our kids are able to see us. In the Hebrew word, repent, right, means to turn directions, that you are going this way and you change. I think it's really important for us to be able to model that for our kids. And so my kid was in driver's training and I recognized, hey, I was perceived in a way I didn't mean. And so it gave me this incredible gift of owning what I needed to own, apologize for anything I needed to apologize for, and then make a commitment to what it looks like for us to be able to move forward, because your kids are not the same. Your kids aren't the same as what you were. Your kids aren't all the same. Thought number three, to know them, is to pay attention to the way God has uniquely designed, created, and is calling each of them. Brings me back to you. It's where this image is helpful. So it's the image of the sheep paths. The important thing for the shepherd isn't that all the sheep are on the same path, right? It's actually not helpful that all the sheep are on the same path, because then the sheep in the front are going to eat all the food and the sheep in the back aren't going to have any. The important thing is that on a hillside like this, if you're a shepherd, you will have sheep all on their individual paths to an extent up the hillside. What's important isn't that they're all on the same path. What's important is they are all moving in the direction of the shepherd. I think my thought number three is some kids, if you have multiple kids, you already know this, that they're wired different. Some need more structure. Some need more freedom. One kid needs you to push them. The other kid, you really can't as much. One kid, you pick them up from school, and they're going to tell you everything there is to know by the time you hit the road out of the parking lot. The other, it doesn't matter what you ask. The answer is always fine, right? How was it? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing. Okay, awesome. Your kids are different. The goal, I think, isn't that we force them all on the same path. The goal as the parent is to identify, to help them identify what path God has them on, how God is uniquely calling them to live into the people that God has uniquely created them to be, and then help them to hear the voice of the shepherd so that they can then walk the path God has placed them on, following the direction of the shepherd. It's in that way that I think the proverb makes a whole lot of sense. That if I'm able to do my job of helping my kids recognize the unique ways God has gifted them, the unique ways God has called them to be them, the unique path that God has called them down in the direction of the shepherd whose voice they're hopefully learning to hear, I get why the proverb would say, if I help my kid recognize that path, they probably walk it. I find that image helpful. So thought number one, enjoy the season, enjoy them. Thought number two, you are always teaching. They are always learning. Thought number three, know them, learn the path, help them identify the path that they are already on. And I think for me, that's been one of the things that I've been really leaning into because of that whole yard sign in front of my house, that I recognize that for years, I was able to make decisions for my kids. Right, I get to help them figure out. There were seasons when I'm picking out what they wear to school, what they eat when they get there, the decisions that they're going to make. And then as they get older, as they should, that leash starts getting shorter. And what I've recognized is that as my kind of leash gets a little bit shorter, it feels like their decisions just keep getting bigger. Where now the question of what are you going to give your life to? And what are you going to do after high school? And what's it all going to look like? The hope, my prayer is that over the years, what I've been able to do is help them hear the voice of the shepherd, help them recognize the unique path that God has them on. And then it kind of leads into my thought number four, my kind of last thought for this morning, is simply to trust their shepherd. To trust their shepherd, that you are not, the goal was not that they follow you forever, right? The goal of parent, my goal as being a parent to my kids isn't that I will always be able to make the decisions for them. The goal, my hope, is that I help them recognize the path that God has placed them on, that they might be able to recognize the voice of the shepherd, and then at some point to loosen up that control, right? To start kind of opening hands, and just simply offer the prayer of God, I've done everything I can for the season that I've had to be able to lean in. And God, I trust that you're able to go to places that I can't, that you are always with them, that you will always lead, that you will always guide. God, I trust you with them. And so this weekend is Labor Day weekend. You might have some extra time together. My encouragement, if you have kids, if your kids have kids, if your siblings have kids, if your friends, your neighbors, enjoy them. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy this season. At some point 10 years from now, you would like to look back at you right now and say, just enjoy the space. Enjoy it. Know that everything you're doing is teaching. So ask yourself, what does it look like to live a life that you would be proud to pass on? Pay attention to the unique path that God has each of your kids on and help them know his voice. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank you for this incredible gift to be able to pour into those who come after us, whether that be through parenting or teaching or mentoring or counseling or aunt and uncling or whatever it looks like. God, we are grateful for the ways that you continue to work through people to draw more to yourself. And so, God, we do pray for those that look up to us. God, we do pray that we would do that, that we would enjoy this space, that we would recognize that all of life, that this season, that all of it is gift, and that we would live our lives grateful. And that, God, we pray that we would be able to model well what it looks like to put your ways, Jesus, your words and your ways on display. And God, we pray that we would be able to do that so beautifully that those who come after us, those who look up to us, would also want to follow that way, to follow your voice. God, we are grateful for it all. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about how you can become a part of the South Harbor Church community, find us on the web at www.southharbor.org or find us on Facebook and Instagram at South Harbor Church. And on Sunday mornings, you can find our service streamed live at 8:45 a.m. on Facebook and YouTube. And so from all of us here at South Harbor Church, we want to wish you a blessed week.